Thanks for listening to the CISO Diaries podcast. We're Leah.
And I'm Sia.
And we started this podcast with the intent to give CISOs and cybersecurity professionals a place to be their authentic selves. These are the unedited stories told of how they got into cybersecurity, their real struggles that they've persevered through, their personal anecdotes that make them tick, and the leadership advice based on their own experiences. And we want to especially spotlight those that are contributing and giving back to the community apart from their day jobs.
This podcast is for everyone, especially if you're a leader or someone aspiring to leadership. Who knows? You may find yourself working with these awesome leaders.
So join us on your favorite podcast player. And please don't forget to subscribe, follow, like, and comment and engage in the conversation.
And now, let's get to know our CISO on our latest diary entry.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm Leah, and I'm here with my co-host, Sia. We want to do a quick shout out to our sponsor today, Cyber Future Foundation. They are a nonprofit think tank of doers focused on critical cyber initiatives to create a safer and more trusted world. And very, very happy today to say that our guest with us is Chase Cunningham, otherwise known as Dr. Zero Trust. And he's also the Chief Strategy Officer at Aracom Software. Chase, it's good to finally catch up with you today. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It seems like every time we get ready to line up on something, somebody's got something else to do.
I know. It's that time of year, but it's been cool to see you evolve, I guess, in the industry, right? You taught me a lot, actually. You did the research, threat intelligence. We both worked at one or two of the same companies before. People who are smart enough and want to Google us can figure this out. Yeah. And then you were at Forrester for almost, 4 years. So, and now here you are, Chief Strategy Officer. And I know I hear you have a new book out. So let's hear more about it. Tell us about the book.
Yeah. So I appreciate it. I went off and wrote a novel. Actually, I've written a few, I've written and contributed to a few nonfiction. I did the Sinja comic series. And then I just kind of got a wild hair of like, can I write a interesting, hopefully novel on cyber and kind of tie in a bunch of different themes and see where it went. And it started out with a whole lot of word vomit that I just kept polishing and eventually it became, something that so far I've gotten positive feedback on.
Okay. What's the name of the book?
Gabriel. Yeah, it's funny too, because the computer people in the room, they see the thing and they get it. It's Gabriel, right? But then the people that aren't, they go, what is C:/Gabriel? It's like, no, that's a prompt, dude. Like, it's Gabriel.
So I read a bit of an excerpt. It's, I will say for people who want to go check it out, I encourage that. Amazon, you can get it on Kindle or other formats, but I'm intrigued to keep reading. Let's just say that. Very interesting. Not what I thought, but I think, didn't you also do it a little bit as well, the intent to help more women get into cybersecurity?
Yeah, more women, more folks from outside of the space, because we've got an issue where we do need more people from different areas to come in. Actually, funny you mentioned that, because I had a conversation with a guy this week that he's a physician's assistant, and he's just like, I'm done with medical stuff, and he wants to come into cyber. And I'm like, come on, dude, like, let me, help introduce you and walk you to where you want to go. But yeah, that was the big, I guess, focus area for me, was to write something and show that it's not just a bunch of ex-military tattooed hoodie wearing douchebag guys running around doing things. Like, we have women in here that do awesome stuff too.
Love it.
Yeah. So I have to say, books in general, I find it fascinating that there's always so many different angles you can go about approaching, particularly around, with cybersecurity. It's not just, I'm going to go in cybersecurity because I want to go into pen test, right? There's so much more beyond it. Who was it that we were talking to, Leah? They're like, there's 58 others just right off the bat you can list in the whole world of cybersecurity that you can go into.
Like 54 domains in IT and cyber, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that just struck me, Chase, because you wrote a book with that different angle in mind. So have you always been a supporter of diversity of, I guess, in this context, like of women getting into cyber?
Well, I mean, I'm not blowing smoke up anybody's skirt. Like, I would say I grew up in a house where, like, I grew up with my grandmother was one of the first women in the United States licensed to sell stocks and do what she did. And she did in a male dominated industry for 4 decades. So like when I've been around women that don't let somebody roll over them and do, and just make their own way, I just saw that was an opportunity. I'm blessed that I've been around that. Like my wife is a nurse and she stares death in the face daily. Like, you know, my mom's never taken no for an answer. I just felt like I was in a place where I've been around a lot of really influential, don't take crap type of chicks. And I knew them in the military as well. So I wanted to see if I could weave some of that story together. And, you know, be it fortunate or unfortunate, those of us that happen to be in some sort of position of influence, however minuscule it may be, like we, in my opinion, owe it to try and help others. And that's what I'm trying to do. So.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much for that. Because as an outsider looking in, I can't believe, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, I bowed out of security when I left the sales side of it to join the IT side of the house back in 2008. And I can't believe how different security is today. It's almost like I'm looking at a totally different beast and entity. So Chase, from your perspective then, you've been around as well. Not going to try to date you, but
I'm 41. There, that's the date.
Oh, if you want to throw. Oh. Well, yeah. Okay, whippersnapper.
Pretty candid guy.
Okay, whippersnapper. Still going back to my premise is this. Do you and have you seen it? And what is the cause for that change or whatever you're seeing? What do you think happened to cybersecurity in the last 15, 20 years?
I think it's less than that. I think cyber's gotten better in the last, say, 3 to 5. You know, it's I think it's been a combination of folks realizing there's an opportunity. I think also people, to be perfectly frank, follow the money. This is the only space in all of workdom where it is a less than 0% unemployment rate. Like if you can fog up a mirror, you can get a job in cyber. And like I said, the dogs are going to bark. So there's the dogs because that's how it goes.
Hi, puppy. But,
well, it's because your puppy wants to like agree with you on this, that it has had a positive uptick, but I'm going to have to challenge you. I don't think that it's easy to get a job in cybersecurity. Could you clarify that statement?
No, I don't think it's easy to get a job in cyber, but I think there's a massive opportunity for people to work to get a job in cyber. Like I hired two interns this year, and I mean, one of them was 19 years old, just out of high school, never did anything for cyber in his whole spate in his whole life, which is extremely short. But a lot of these other folks, like they see that there's an opportunity and they've been going after it. And to those folks' credit, I think a lot of them have been willing to start at the bottom and kind of start to work their way up. So I think we're seeing a bit of that trend kind of pay off now.
You know, for the listeners out there, if you don't know Chase Cunningham, get to know him. We'll ask him later where you guys can reach out to him, because what you just said, Chase, we need more of you who do that.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, when we first kind of kicked off our conversation today, you know, I've gotten to work with you, two different companies, or one, felt like two. Inside jokes there maybe, but I learned a lot from you in that time, and you know, we're all evolving. I guess question on, okay, you brought these folks in, 119, you know, when you look at training and upskilling them, what does that look like for you, or how can we all kind of do a better job at that? And I want to also find out in part of that question, because you know, early on in your career, worked with a lot of intelligence community agencies, you know, FBI, CIA, et cetera. And there's still that stigma, and what I've heard personally from working with government entities, that the training is still not where it needs to be. And do you think it's where it needs to be, though, within the workforce and where we're bringing in these new entrants who are younger?
I think there's a bit of an unfair. So I think there's something that's kind of unfair to those of us that are seasoned in the cyberspace, right? Where like I brought these interns in and immediately their first thing is, you know, where do I go to get certified and how do I learn this, whatever else. I did what I was put through. I said, look, here's what I expect you to do by the end of this term. Go figure it out. And basically there's this beautiful thing called Google, right? They could go learn and start doing the research themselves. And maybe it's the chief in me or whatever, but I believe that you get more out of something when you figure it out yourself. Right. So I think a lot of people come into space and they kind of immediately go, how do I get certified? Where's the formalized training? How do I learn to do this? And then they expect it to be shoved down their throat and then they will succeed, which that doesn't work in any other industry. It shouldn't work here. I mean, if I woke up tomorrow and I want to go be a, I don't know, financial planner, I got to go figure out how to be a financial planner. Like no one's going to make it me successful in that space. But the other side of that equation is to put people in the space. I think we need to do them more of give them a more of a fair shake by saying like, look, not everyone here is a coder. Not everyone here is a red teamer. Not everyone here is a pen tester. So they can understand there's other places they can be, because a lot of them are afraid to try. And that, like for me, just on a personal level, that really pisses me off, because, you know, if you don't try, you don't have any expectation of success. And I also just, I'm not okay with people that expect success to be given to them. Like, whatever it is, you got to go get it. And it's you put them in there. It's just my own personal approach to it. And my interns told me at the end of the term, they both were like, this was great. I got so much out of this. They said that when they started college, like, they were telling people how to do stuff. Chase didn't spend a minute teaching them how to do things. And I just said, like, figure it out. If you have questions, I'm here for you. If I can guide you, I'll tell you what to kind of look at, but you go do it.
That's an interesting perspective. I have a bit of a different perspective, but at the same time, to your point, the resourcefulness that you taught them is huge. And what I don't see in everybody, but that we all need, that's how we have to be, right? Especially in cyber. But that you were there for them to answer questions and guide them is key. Hopefully others know who are listening that there are a lot of free resources out there. So if they have to go figure it out, which most of the time, to your point, we mostly have to do in our careers, it's available. At least I just want to throw that out there, because if someone's really struggling on, I need to go somewhere, that we have that, and just, you know, keep following us and we share that.
Yeah, I'd like to add to this though, but Chase, and I think it's because of your background as well. I believe it's very military type mentality, because I think with the military, because we were talking to another previous guest who has military background, and we're talking about leadership in regards to letting your team figure it out. You'll be there to guide them, but if you tell them what to do, how to do it at the exact same moment every single time, it doesn't promote thought or thinking. And in military, which I got myself edumacated on, which is this, I got educated. I thought in the military, they did tell you what to do every step of the way, because you have to, because of moment of like instant, you know, when you have to do something in that instantaneous moment, it's like a muscle reflex. I understand in some contexts that applies, but in majority of the time, it's no, when, you know, SHIT hits the fan, it's that instantaneous ability to think out of the box, assess the situation and execute according to your knowledge and what needs to be done. And I don't think our education system in the United States, I have to say specifically, teaches that. I think the military does an excellent job of training that mentality. Do you, Chase, believe we should be able to, is that our responsibility now, that if they go through education system, that we should teach that into them in the professional space? Or is that something that college universities should already have pre-trained these recent college grads?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be perfectly frank, and I have kids that are in school right now, right? I think our current education system is honestly kind of built around remembering and regurgitating, right? It's about learn stuff, vomit it back, and then take a test, and you get your bar and then a gold pumpkin sticker or whatever, and eventually you get your little piece of paper that says you learned it something. Where in reality, like we all know, when you get out of school, that's not what happens. You don't get, someone's not going to shove things down your throat and you vomit it back to them. And then they go, good job, here's your sticker. Like, they're going to say, here's a project, here's a task, here's a requirement. And then they're going to kind of go, ready, go. And you have to figure out how to make that work and what has to come into that and whatever. And yeah, there's a maturity curve here. There's an upscaling or whatever else. And like my interns, I texted one of them this morning because he had a question. So like, there's also that piece of the people that will help you should be willing to help you for the long term, right? And they'll be there forever. But like we have, unfortunately, I think because of the way our system works, is that it's built around retention of information, not actually leveraging that information for a purpose.
Oh, I love it. Like, again, yeah. Applying it to real life.
Yeah, and it's interesting too on the education conversation and dialogue I just listened with the two of you. Most of my career has been not on education side until recently. I will say this though, while you bring up very good points and a lot of it's true, there I do want to give credit to the schools, the colleges, and universities that are making the shift and trying to work more with industry to create those programs, both hands-on, the skills, the curriculum, the teaching, the learning, to be more aligned with the industry. There is that going on. And I'm just going to do some quick shout outs. University of West Florida, Lake Region State College, Bismarck State College, Portland University, and I can go on, University of Maryland, but it's changing. And I think the more of us in industry can actually help give input, that will help them even more to help the future leaders. But Chase, question for you, because I don't know that I even fully know. I've known you for a while. How did you actually get into cybersecurity?
So, I mean, I tell people all the time, like, I'm not supposed to be here. I joined the Navy as a diesel mechanic, like literally the gruntiest of the grunt work you could think of in the Navy. And through a series of fortunate and unfortunate events, I happened to be in the right place at the wrong time doing something that was wrong, that I was sort of, you know, just lucky to figure out the technology side of it on. And some people, to their credit, recognized that I had a talent for things that weren't working on diesel engines. And then I got an opportunity to get into the space around cyber. And for me, like, I looked at it as that was my chance to get out of the bowels of a ship and stop schlepping oil, right? And I wanted that opportunity and I grabbed it. And then I just ran with it as hard as I could. And not toot my own horn, but I mean, I went from being a grunt turning wrenches to, you know, honor grad two or three times in a row. And I blew the curve at code school and whatever else. Like, it, I saw an opportunity and I took it, even though I didn't know what the hell I was getting into, because the stuff I was getting into was classified. Even if I wanted to know about it, I couldn't get into it. So, you know, that's why, like, just on a personal level, when people kind of wonder if they can do something or think they want to do it or whatever else, for me, it's like, just go at it as hard as you can and it'll work out.
You also hustle your ass off though, too.
I mean, that's, you know, what's that speech that Schwarzenegger gave where he actually broke down, like, when he was getting ready, when he was coming from Austria to the US, right? And he talked about all these people that were, you know, saying that he didn't rest enough or whatever else. And he broke down, there's 24 hours in a day. And he said, how much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend reading books? And how much time do you spend sleeping? And he was like, look, I have my life is finite. I got 24 hours in a day. You know, I'm going to do what I need to do for me and for my future now, because I know as I get older, it's going to be harder. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of value in that approach as well. Don't burn yourself out, but don't, you know, if you want something, by God, go get it.
I think the question about burnout in general, though, is it's when your input
doesn't match the output.
Exactly. And so if you're constantly dumping in and it's not giving you that return, you have to reevaluate what is your definition of success in your output. Because I do think at times there is a challenge of, I want immediate gratification of my output and not understanding that there's a long-term benefit to doing it. So I think sometimes it's mental. It is ultimately mental, right? Because I think we talk ourselves out more often than not. One thing I want to point out that you mentioned, Chase, that I think is such a consistent leadership trait, is being opportunistic. I'm not saying opportunistic in the context of manipulating people and things like that, but seizing the opportunity when it comes available to you to take that risk and say, I may not know what the hell I'm going to do, but let's just try it. Let's just jump off that, you know, I don't say that one. Let's jump over that hopscotch from number one square to number two square with my left foot instead of my right foot, if that makes sense. Have you always been a risk taker? And if so, was that, again, inherent in you, or was it a condition of your upbringing?
I jokingly, maybe not jokingly, I think I've said this to Leah before, like, I call myself a intelligent idiot, right? Where, like, I'm smart enough to know when I shouldn't do things. And I'm also kind of intelligent enough, I think, to realize what I have to do to complete something. And then my honest opinion on things is 90% of success is hustle.
Do the hustle. Sorry, that just popped up into my head.
I'm sure that music is going to pop up soon.
Okay.
On leadership, though, because we get various responses, I'd say, when we ask, how do you see leadership in terms, or what the advice you would give in the three big things that it takes to really succeed as a leader? and make it to, I'd say, C-suite, right? Your chief strategy officer.
So number one, you know, I think if you're going into anything with a focus on being in the executive pool, you're doing the wrong thing. Like that should happen based on your level of effort and output and delivering of outcomes. So I think that's something to take away. Number two, I would say realizing that this is a team sport and you are only as good as the ability that you have to bring a rising tide lifts all ships, right? And then the last thing I would say just on a personal note is never, ever, ever stop learning. Like if you're not constantly learning something, you are wasting oxygen and you should get off my planet, like learn.
Hey, Chase, tell me how you really feel about non-learners.
I know we said earlier.
Profane. I didn't even say anything profane, so I did well.
He's just being himself. That's what we need, right?
Right.
Yeah, authenticity.
Well, I think how, you know what? Let me ask you this, and you guys, both of you answer this. And Leah, tell me about this. We hear so many times of everyone that we've been talking to, some great leaders and other people in our careers. Let's really talk about authenticity. I have spoken with so many individuals that say, oh, I'm going to do XYZ. I believe in XYZ. And then their execution is completely the opposite. So let me ask you both. How do you address that, especially in the world of cybersecurity, where everyone says, I love diversity. I love bringing people in. But yet when you look at their hiring practices, you look at their team composition, you look at the way they engage, et cetera, it's not reflecting. How would you suggest, I mean, call me out if I'm exaggerating, but how would you address that?
No, I mean, I think we have to, I think the requirement, you know, I'm not intelligent enough or versed enough in the cultural aspects of anything to pontificate on a lot of that stuff. I think, in my opinion, I look at people, I don't care if you got a set of horns or a wiener growing out of your forehead. Like, it's how well you can do the job and your ability to execute and what you bring to the team. Other than that, I don't really care. I think honestly, like that, I think that's something that has to come a little bit more of, like, you know, looking outside the bounds of what you're kind of comfortable hiring somebody for and bringing people in that you don't necessarily know fit the mold, if you will, and then letting them execute. But to the other point, like for those people that want to come in here and that are into this space, which I will openly admit, like those of us that are seasoned, we kind of guard cyber because it's our thing. If you're going to come in here, you should come in here and with the full expectation that you need to bring the heat because that's what's expected of you. If you're not going to do that, you know, then expect to be drummed out. And it sounds harsh. But opportunities are here. They're everywhere, but you got to deliver.
Well, and you've definitely always been authentic as long as I've known you, which actually has made you pretty approachable for most of us.
Authentic. Uh-oh. Yeah.
No, it's a good thing because, and you kind of hit on it a bit just now, but authenticity, if we have to change who we are authentically, to become someone else for somebody else, i.e. fit that mold, then we've lost sense of who we are. And then is that how we're going to go on in the rest of our careers? And is that the right environment for us to be in if that's the only way we can stay employed? I don't think so. It's not. And I think there's a balance which comes to be our authentic selves. Absolutely. You don't, the minute you lose that, it's hard to get back. And then you become someone else's puppet or whatever, if you will. But that being said, we have to be able to read people and understand them and know how to communicate differently with them, because how we communicate, you know, socially, even with our friends or family, it can't be one way all the time based on personalities. So it's the understanding of that. But absolutely, authenticity, stay authentic, because if you lose that, it's hard to get back.
You know,
and then you fit someone else's mold.
I was just going to say, you said being authentic, and I had everybody thinks everything is, I've had people kind of come at me where it's like, oh, you're ex-military, ex-intel community, white guy, blah, blah, blah. Like you're, it's given to you or whatever else. And I mean, yeah, we've got some advantages and I don't disagree with that wholeheartedly. But I will say there have been times where there's been things that have come up that have been, I would say, less than inclusive, even for me. Funniest story I kind of had was one time these folks asked me to come do a speech on cyber, and I showed up. No one had told me that this was kind of a hoity-toity, like country club sort of environment. I showed up in like ripped jeans and a t-shirt covered in tattoos and whatever. And they said, like, you can't do your speech in jeans. And I was like, are my pants in the way of my mouth? Like, am I unable to speak through my zipper or something? And, you know, for where I was at, I was just like, they said, well, we've got clothes you can change into. I said, I'm not changing. Like, I'm either going up there like this or I'm not going. They rolled over. So I think one thing people should maybe take away from some of that is if you bring the value that you think you bring, stand on it and people will, you know, recognize it.
Thank you very much for saying that, Chase, because I'm a member of a women in cybersecurity group on Facebook. And it's interesting because you have a lot of women saying, hey, I'm jumping into cybersecurity, either changing careers or fresh out of college or not even college. They're just, I want to look at cybersecurity and I'm at day zero. And I can't believe some of the feedback I've seen from some of these individuals of, well, you know, you got to be like this. You got to dress like that. You got to have these certs and blah, blah,
that's
blah.
Because we're told that. We get told that when applying for jobs, we get denied or told you don't cut it seriously because you don't have 10 more certs.
And that
this is why there's a problem with the system.
So, hey, Chase, what are your thoughts? Certs, how important are they?
I always have a need for toilet paper, you know, so send me.
Especially send me, during COVID.
Right. Right? Yeah. Because COVID is a gastrointestinal thing, right? I need TP. So, I mean, I think so. Certs have their value in letting people know that you've checked a box and that you can do X, right? And I think that they are used in the hiring process to weed out people based on that cert. You know, if certs fix the problem, we wouldn't continue to have all the problems that we have. So that I think they're, you know, they are what they are. There's a market created around it. People make a lot of money off it. My favorite cert story was I took a class literally called Ultimate Hacking. And at the end of it, they gave us an exercise and I figured out a way to go around the exercise and was done in like, I don't know, 35 or 40 minutes. And they told me they weren't going to cert me because I didn't do it the way they said. And I was like, well, how the is this called Ultimate Hacking? But anyway.
The new cert off of what you probably were teaching them.
Yeah. Hacked the test and they're like, we can't give it to you. That's awesome.
I mean, it was whatever, but like, you know, the certs are certs. If you're new to the space, I would say there's some that are worth it. Go check them out, get some education under your belt, kind of learn how things are. Cause there's value in learning which certs are learning. But on the other side, like, you know, Leah was talking about, and for anybody that listens or any of your women's groups or whatever else, if you're ever in a position where someone is downing you for something in the cyberspace or a cert or whatever else, ping me directly and I will be glad to get in the middle of that and introduce you and connect you with people that will take you past that BS, because it'll be a cold day in hell before I'll stand and let somebody get smashed because of something that they can't do because someone's in their way.
Man, I just want to say again, and I mean, yeah, same here. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because we need so many more people like Chase. We really do.
I feel like there's a movement here. I'm feeling a movement sliding underneath me.
The movement's happening. We just need it to combust.
I said this in another podcast too, recently, where they were talking about the book and the fact that I had a woman or lady, however you want to call it, the hero and a bad guy. Like, I was like, I think if you're looking for people that are really good at figuring out what doesn't add up and putting puzzles together and things like that, women are better at it than guys, period, point blank. I got a wife and two girls. I can tell you they're way better at figuring out stuff than I am. So,
well, like you said, it's a team, right? And by the way, you said my favorite saying, which is for me, I call the all ships rise with the tide. Like, if we can promote one another in a way where, hey, look, I might have a strength in this particular area, my business or the company I'm with or someone that I know needs someone with strength in another area. I don't see why not. We wouldn't want to help each other and promote one another, because fast forward 20 odd years before you know it, some of the of us might go into a management route where, again, that's how you grow and you broaden your network. I wonder to some degree if security, have we become jaded? Because I'm a little bit older, and so I've got an older network, if you will, but are we seeing enough networking? And I'm not talking about TCP/IP networking. I'm talking about, are we seeing enough networking within the cybersecurity community? Are we doing that enough for the folks starting out as well as for those that are established? Are we doing it enough consciously that's actually proven successful?
Well, I think COVID put a giant hole in that, right? Because we associate networking with being able to meet people and shake hands and, you know, drink beer at RSA and stuff like that. So I think we lost a couple of years of networking, which is going to hurt the industry for a while. The other thing I kind of want to add in there too, though, is part of what you were talking about with bringing more people in the rising tide. I would just remind people, like, you know, even though we want you here, we want to help you, we want to bring you in, and those like me, and I can't speak for others, but me, I will jump through hoops on fire to help you out. You need to take some personal accountability, right? Don't have unreasonable expectations. Don't go into any place. You couldn't do it in any other market either. Go in there and think that you're owed something. If anything, you owe for the opportunity to get into that space. So, and you owe for life, in my opinion. Like it's just how it goes. So I think people need to remember that. Like there are those of us that will bend over backwards to help you. We know that there's a lack of inclusion and diversity and all that stuff. And when the opportunity is presented to you, run with it. And you know, we will, and I the collective, the royal we, right? We will do what we can to lift you up. But the personal accountability does matter here.
I 100% agree. The personal accountability, being able to put in the work and the time, because the rest of us do it. And as Chase, you mentioned, starting off and where you got to today, it takes hustle, devotion, and time. But that being said, I think we've actually gotten a little bit better about the networking aspect. I mean, again, you know, follow me too, if no one is, but we have a lot of resources now.
Okay, if no one is, you two are the ones I see, like from a cybersecurity perspective, I'm pretty impressed by how much interaction you get from people. So whatever, humble brag.
Add Chase, you know, to another person out there with fighting the good fight and the cause and helping people to get in and spending time and mentoring. I mean, your point with your interns, again, I just want to say thank you, because we need more of you like that. And I think we're growing in that.
I get haterade too. I mean, I get people that like are just, I get some of the vitriol you get from people when you're, you know, out there on the interwebs. It's nasty. I mean,
all fun and games and rainbows. Yeah.
No, I mean, I get some people that come at you and it's like, dude, you got nothing else to do. Like, go get a girlfriend, man. Go away.
But realize, you guys, and I've said that before, I've actually responded back to a few trolls before, which is, hey, what's going on in your life right now that this is, this is where you feel to put your time and energy into, or what's going on in your life that you have this perspective? Let's talk about that. I swear to God, it messes people up because they're like, don't psychoanalyze me, man.
You're a nicer person than I am. I'm like, look, I'll be here at this date and this time. Be there.
No. Yeah. You are some fighting words, Chase.
You want to run your mouth? Like, let's see what happens. Run it.
Oh my God. I haven't gotten to catch up with you for a while, so this has been really fun. Okay, Chase, as we wrap up, where can people find your book? Is Amazon?
Amazon, yeah. Gabriel's on there, as well as the Sinja series and then the cyber warfare and nonfiction book. So
that's another good one, mm-hmm. Right? But I think I have that one too.
Yep. So it's out there. And if somebody wants a signed copy and we ever get back into life again and I can see you, I'll be glad to sign it.
Awesome. And then what about reaching out to you? LinkedIn or?
LinkedIn's probably the best way. I'm on Twitter. I don't do the other stuff, but LinkedIn and Twitter is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. Or if you need something, finding me on the podcast, which is the Dr. Zero Trust Show, is another way.
Excellent. So Leah, this is such a fun, Chase, we could talk to you forever. And I know that. So we would love to have you back and love to see how things are post book launch. I think it'd be a really good conversation.
And maybe your next book in the future. I'm sure there will be one.
I'm sure I'll get bored and start, you know, word vomiting again. So,
hey man, like we need more word vomiters. Look, me and Leah can't like do this by ourselves, people.
All right, you guys do awesome stuff. I listen to everything you put out. So keep it up.
Thank you. Well, thanks for being here with us today too. And for all that you're doing to help the cause.
Keep up the hustle. I mean, that's all we can do, right? Hustle, hustle, hustle.
Exactly. Yep. Do the hustle.
We might need to close this with a new theme song now.
Right. Yeah, I ain't paying for the licensing, girl. I ain't not paying for
I
it.
I know.
Until someone wants to sponsor us in addition to Cyber Future right. Foundation,
exactly.
Our premier sponsor. So guys, thank you so much. I mean, this is such a great diary entry. And Chase, obviously, I love what you're doing. Love that, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to be a little sensationalist to get eyeballs and attention, but you're bringing the point across of that, you know, cybersecurity has a role for those that are interested, that are willing to do the hustle. Okay, sorry, I'm going to stop. I'll stop myself. But Leah, one last shout out here. And this is something that we've focused and switched our attention on CISO Diaries is we are offering a challenge to everyone that's listening to do something about this. If you're in the cybersecurity space, if you are in your mid-career, early career, if you're in an executive management level where you're in the hiring capacity, do something extra to pay it forward. It could be a little thing. It could be just simply forwarding a resume to someone else that you know to give that person a fighting chance. If it's something where you decide to get on a podcast or you do a webinar, every little bit to show that there's opportunity and also to keep the industry uplifted, I assure you, Leah and I are there to support you.
Reconsider sure. how you hire today. That's all I ask. Reconsider how you hire today and look at other avenues to find talent that may not have the 10 plus years of experience. Reach out, Chase or I, the community. We can actually give you the talent that you'd be surprised what they're capable of. Chase has demonstrated that himself at his own company.
Exactly. So on that note, everyone, I think that's a perfect wrap up. We gave everyone an action item. We gave you opportunities to get to know Chase and we chuckled a few times. And I know I gave you guys an earworm with the hustle.
And sang.
I know. Shoot. I did sing, didn't I? Sorry, peeps. I didn't have my filter on there. But on that note, that wraps it up for another CISO Diaries entry.
Thanks, Chase.
Bye-bye.